on a Sunday morning like this. But my thoughts were this. In the last few months, we have been looking at the Sermon on the Mount, learning about the kingdom, its culture, lifestyle, or mindedness, learning and being challenged in our values, in our beliefs and behavior, to transform us as a people of God, to transform our relationships, our communities, and transform our understanding of reality, or what God deems reality for us. These things we've been learning are profound truths, which we need to apply in our lives appropriately. I don't know about you, many of us struggle or fail to apply these truths in our own lives. Maybe because we find the standards of defining the Sermon on the Mount too high or too difficult. And I hope this is where this passage pitches in. Pentecost reminds us that the Lord promised us a comforter, an advocate to guide us into all truth. And unfortunately, most of us think we know the truth. So when the Spirit speaks to us, we fight in our own thoughts and ways. But you see, if we just listened to Him, He would reveal the truth to us. In the passage we just read, Jesus speaks of the Spirit's influence on the church, or in the church. The Paraclete does not only convict and convince the world, He also enlightens believers in the truth of Christ. How? By revealing Jesus and His truth to us. And in so doing, the Holy Spirit glorifies Christ. You see, the passage before us has a number of themes and can be approached from various viewpoints. But what I want to do this morning is just for us to notice two things about the Holy Spirit. Just two things. The first thing I want us to notice is that He guides into all truth. The truth that we find in God's Word. Verses 12 to 13 deals with that. You see, Jesus begins the teaching on the Holy Spirit here by saying, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. You see, He's just been speaking of the Spirit convicting work in verse 8 to reach the world. And now He speaks of the Spirit guiding influence within the church. You see, the Holy Spirit ministers or works through the believer's life. He works through the words that you and I speak and our deeds to convict the world. And through God's Word to lead the believer into all the truth, practically, and the way we experience God in our lives. You see, what Jesus wants us to realize is that the helping and convicting work of the Holy Spirit, as well as many other things, would become clearer after Jesus' resurrection and ascension. This is why Jesus said, but there is too much on Jesus' heart that He would like to speak to His disciples, but He would not disclose them. He would not disclose them. The question is, why didn't Jesus want to disclose these things? Let me suggest to you and to me, maybe, because disciples are not ready. They were not ready. You see, the things of God are too much to bear unless we have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Though the weight, the profound nature of what He's teaching is of greater value. However, without the indwelling Spirit, Holy Spirit, man cannot carry the treasure. So Jesus promised to send to us the Holy Spirit. And I like the word, calls Him the Comforter, the Counselor, the Advocate. You see, the Holy Spirit's coming would strengthen and ignite the believers and those who were to follow down through the ages so that they would bear all things that Jesus would continue to reveal to them through the scriptures. As we got the specific instructions that they and us could bear, before the Spirit lives in us, all those are recorded for us in the scriptures. But I want you to notice in verse 13 that Jesus is the one who will speak this glorious, clarified, and amplified truth. It is the truth from Jesus himself. But you see, the clincher is this. Jesus is going to come to us through the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit to explain these things to us. The Spirit is called the Spirit of what? Truth. Because he guides believers into the truth of God. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. Meaning he won't speak out of his own initiative. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. But let me pause here and say, the Spirit is a person. He's not simply a force or a power. He is a person with a separate consciousness from the other members of the Godhead. And his work and ministry of guiding in all truth, he does in a very personal way. Guiding believers, guiding the church into truth. This means to lead the way. The Holy Spirit exerts influence upon the saved. But I want to say this morning. The Holy Spirit, or the Spirit, does not drive or compel us, nor does he force us. That's not his job. He does not compel us or force us. The wedding here suggests a loving hand placed upon us to lead us, to encourage us. But it's unfortunate the word comforter, you know, it's one of those words that, you know, we sort of misunderstand. You know, we tend to understand comfort to mean just to soothe. As I said, just placing one hand upon someone needing help or comfort. But I remember many years ago, as a student in Southampton, listening to David Jackman. Some of you have met David Jackman has been here. I still remember the illustration he gave trying to explain what the comforter's work is, or what comfort is. I remember him referring to a picture, I can't remember what picture it was, it's in the British Museum, of a soldier, or two soldiers trying to encourage one another. And in that picture, David Jackman has explained, I still remember it up to this day. One soldier was trying to encourage the other one. The picture says, the caption is, he comforted his friend. And the picture has, as it were, the barrel of the gun poking the other soldier. Okay? Most of us don't think comfort is like, you know, kind of poke someone. But you see, that picture has remained in my mind. You see, to comfort, or the comforter's work, as it were, is not is to poke, to spur, as it were, to encourage us. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. To spur us to understand the truth that we learn or we come across in God's Word. You see, the Spirit comes alongside us to comfort us. You see, we may refuse his leading. More often than not, we don't. We just refuse. But if we decide to follow his leading, then we must exert and apply ourselves. If we apply ourselves, the Spirit will guarantee that we do not miss our way. And he will secure our way from sin, as it were. The Spirit is called the Spirit of truth, and he guides into all truth. You see, the Spirit is like a skillful pilot, guiding the ship to the port he's headed for. So the Spirit will guide us into all truth. When you look at the pilot, those of you who live by the sea, these ships are massive vessels. And the pilot has to guide it nicely, gently into the right direction. That's how the Spirit guides us. John says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. In John chapter 8, verse 32. Now, if you don't want to know the truth that will set you free, then the Spirit will have trouble guiding you. There needs to be that willingness in ourselves. When I say exerting ourselves, there needs to be that willingness in ourselves to accept that guidance. For us to want to be guided by the Spirit of God. See, the Spirit seeks to set free, to serve, to love, to guide into real joy and peace. To move mountains with faith. To set free from the old man's mental habits. The insecurities that we have, insufficiencies, intimidation, and all these fears that come in our lives. His work is to set us free from all these things. As he leads us, as we go into all the truth. If we refuse to be led into truth by the Holy Spirit, we'll continue to be deceived by Satan, by the evil one. You see, as we grow into our Christian life, the Spirit will lead us deeper and deeper into the knowledge of the truth. He will guide us so that we are intimately acquainted, as it were, with the truth, so that we not only have the concept in our heads, but we learn to savor, to enjoy the truths that we're learning from God's Word. I don't know about you. As John, I'm talking about our pastor here, as we've gone through the Sermon on the Mount, I don't know about you. There have been challenges that when you sit in the pulpit, you begin to think, I don't think I meet that. I don't think it's me. I struggle with some of the things that we learn from the Scriptures. Because I'm human. I've got weaknesses. So I struggle with these things in mind, but what I'm trying to say here, as I draw deeper, if we yield ourselves, if I yield myself to the work of the Spirit in my life, the Spirit will make these things, though difficult, much more clearer. May I suggest, much more easier for us to learn to apply in our lives. The Spirit reveals both the truths that are plain even those that are difficult. He leads us into all truth. He will not stand stationed over one point of doctrine at the expense of others. His work is to explain the truth to us. The Spirit has been to us to enrich us with the treasures of God's truth. He enlightens us with God's truth. He enriches us with God's treasures. And there's no limit to how much the Holy Spirit will lead us. He stands ready to lead us into all truth if you and I are ready. But there needs to be a willingness on our part to listen and to work, as it were, with Him in our lives. The Word of God is rich. And what a joy it is to have the Spirit illumine Jesus' Word to us. To have Him using this word and working that in us through our lives. The Spirit, like the Son, will not speak what proceeds from Himself, of His own initiative, as distinct from what proceeds from the Father. What He does is energizes and illumines Jesus' word in order to bring to us more full into our consciousness, in our heart, in our lives. Then you empower the believer to live it out. What I'm trying to say is this. The key to knowing God personally, of having a relationship with Him, is with the Spirit of God. That's where the key lies in. We read in Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 29. The Lord says, I will no longer hide my face from them, for I will pour out my spirit on the people of Israel. God will not hide his face from you and from me, because he's given us the spirit to open our eyes, to understand, to see the truths that we need to see and to appreciate in our lives. It is through the Spirit that we are able to look at God and not only see him and know him on what he's like, but to have a personal relationship with him. So the Spirit guides us in all truth, the truth that we need to know. The second thing I want us to just briefly look at is that he glorifies through disclosing. The Holy Spirit glorifies through disclosing. This is another function, as it were, or work of the Spirit, is to glorify Christ. Verse 14 says, he will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you, or make disclosed to you. The Spirit's work is to place Jesus before your eyes, before everyone's eyes and heart and hearts of men, to make the person and work of Christ shine forth in all his excellencies. That is his job. Just as the Son glorifies the Father by revealing him, as we read in John chapter 1 verse 18, both in work and word, so the Spirit glorifies the Son by revealing him or disclosing him to all of us. In both cases, to reveal is necessary to glorify. So wondrous, so noble, so good, so radiant is Jesus to make him known is to glorify him. I don't know if some of us jot down notes. And I still remember someone here when John, again I'm talking about John, a pastor here. When we looked at John chapter 17 some months back, and he equated the whole essence of knowing God in John chapter 17 verse 3 with glorifying God. That's what it's all about. That's the Spirit brings that to us. You see, the Spirit who calls the virtues of Christ to be proclaimed, showing forth his love, his power, his holiness, his forgiveness, and causing their splendor to shine among the nations. If any spirit does not glorify Christ, he is not the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm trying to say here. The Spirit takes what is of Christ and reveals it to us. See, without the work of the Spirit, without being filled with the Spirit, we cannot understand the things of Christ. Nor can we have the things of Christ. All that the Spirit shows us, he applies to us for our own instructions or for our own comfort. To go back to that word comfort of encouragement. All that he gives to us for strengthening and empowerment. And all that he secures and seals all that belongs to Christ and was given to him by Christ. You see what I'm trying to say, saying this in simple terms. All the Spirit does will be in harmony with Christ, with what Christ did. He will maintain the same interest and pursue the same design. The Spirit will never do anything in contrast or contradictory to the written word of God. I don't know how many of you go to theaters. If you go and watch a play, you see, most theaters are not normally aware of what you call stage prompters. There's always a prompt on the edge. How do you remember all the words that you've memorized? But you see, there's a smart little device you call a prompter in the corner, hidden somewhere else. You see, the work of a prompter in a play or in a theater, okay, isn't to draw attention to themselves, but their work, as it were, It is to make sure that the word of the script are delivered correctly and that the play continues along without any interruption. And you don't realize that an actor is like they're fumbling, but they're listening to what someone is prompting to say. And I believe this illustrates an important part of the Spirit's work. The Spirit ensures the correctness of God's words. Ensure the correctness of the script that we have in God's words, as it were. That is his job, to ensure the correctness of the word, God's word. You see, in this parallel discourse, the speech, as it were, Jesus assures us that this promised comforter will do many things. In this passage, you find Jesus' assurance that the Spirit will lead us into all truth and reveal new things to us. The Spirit of Christ discloses, as it were, the character, the wisdom, the power of the Father and of the Son. So read in verse 15, all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will reveal, receive from me what will make known to you. What God designed to reveal to us, he placed in the hands and the disposal of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit works in our minds so that we can perceive and understand and reach and teach about Christ. You see, we talk about spiritual blessings concerning temporal and eternal and temporal things. All these are given by the Father to the Son, the Son to the Spirit. And when you and I are ready and yielding, the Spirit takes them, bestows them upon us. You see, the Father has it. The Son owns it. The Spirit applies it. And all these three combine in you and I as believers. I realize I mumble on and I mumble and I mumble. But what I'm trying to say is this. You know, here are some of the things we've just said in passing. The Spirit strengthens, ignites us, saves us, he enlightens us, he illumines us, he enriches us, energizes us, he empowers us, he guides us, he leads us, and I can go on and on. These are some of the catchwords we've said in passing. We need the Holy Spirit, brother and sister, for us to begin to understand the profound truths that we find in God's Word. I don't know about you. As we're going through the Sermon on the Mount, I have afresh and anew begun to rethink of my life, where I've been to, and where I'm going as a Christian. And I've been on the road for quite a while. I gave my life to Lord Jesus Christ in 1971. And let me tell you, as we go through the Sermon on the Mount, there are new things. Things I've read before, but the Spirit opens one's eyes and said, I never thought of the Word of God in this way. It's my prayer this morning, as we commemorate this way, the Pentecost, for us to begin to see the role and the work of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives. If you gained anything this morning, and I want you to forget all my mumblings, okay? All my stutterings and all those things, remember this. The Spirit has given to you, to me, to guide us in all truth, and to guide us to learn to glorify Christ in our lives. That is the word of God to you and to me this morning. Father and God, we want to thank you that your word is clear. Pray, God, the Holy Spirit will just learn, as it will open our eyes to this truth this morning, for Jesus' sake. Amen.